This conference will now be recorded.
Good evening, everyone. Today is August 1st, 2022. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's regular city council meeting. If you'd all please rise. For the first time, what invitation has on this city and also the wisdom of our city council making this decision tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, welcome, everyone. I'd like to move item 1B on our agenda tonight, that's citizen input. If there's anyone here who'd like to address the city council, please do so. Raise your hand and I'll recognize you, and you can address the council. Being done, I'd like to move to item 1E, which is roll call. And I just want to check for the record, is Marina Posada present?
No.
Okay. All council members here except for Maria. Is there a motion to excuse Maria from tonight's meeting? She's been planned at this meeting all week.
Aye.
Yep. Time to show.
Yeah. Appreciate WSDA private applicator and public operator licenses with endorsements in agriculture, weed, ornamental insect and disease, ornamental weed, and right-of-way weed certifications. He has his flyer certification. He has a CDL license Class A. He is also a U.S. Department of Transportation reasonable suspicion supervisor. He's the city's water department lead. He's dependable, loyal, dedicated, punctual, team-oriented, and he takes pride in his work, and he's full of integrity. Some of Dan's accomplishments is he's been a part of four new well installations, the new growth of the city of Othello, installation of water mains. He's assisted in the creation of the city's first standards, public works standards book. He started with a crew of five public works employees that would hand read all water meters in 3 days and share the public works building with the fire department. And now it's currently 13 full-time and 6 seasonal employees. He's been a part of many office remodels, including City Hall, public works offices, and he's worked under 7 different public works directors. Through the years, Dan's talents and efforts have helped our success. Together, we take pride in your accomplishments, Dan, and your commitment to excellence. Congratulations on your 30-year anniversary.
And I'd like to present to you this plaque.
This Daniel Quick, in recognition and appreciation for your ongoing commitment and dedicated service to the City of Othello, August 1, 1992. August 1, 2022. Dan, I want to congratulate you. How many people make it to 30 years in the same job and have overcome a lot of obstacles and a lot of change? And Dan has shown that steadfastness, and we really appreciate it. Is there anything more to tell the audience tonight?
I just want to go. I really enjoyed working with the crew and the city of Othello. My philosophy has always been that I worked with the city of Othello, whoever the current boss is, or the current boss is. But it's been a nice little town, enjoy the job, and the time off that I don't have to eat. Give me time to work on the little farm I have. I have family life outside the job. Had a good career. Thank you.
he got back to me this morning, and he said that as long as we pull the advertisement for the position from the sources that we have, which I believe there were three, iFiber, Association of Washington Public Administration, or AWPA, also AWC Job Net. So as long as we pull those and we contact the applicants, it would be fine. And we believe that the city, as Kurt or as Kelly explained it, there are no rules pertaining to the process of hiring a public works director other than what we discussed in the ONC. So he recommended we pull the advertising. Send an email or a letter to the individuals who replied thus far, informing them that the position was filled internally and the position is no longer available. So those applicants have been informed, and per the Federal Municipal Code 2.15030, city clerk, finance officer, public works director, development director, police chief, and fire chief shall be appointed by the mayor and shall be confirmed by a majority vote of the whole council before assuming office. So that is what I'm asking the city council to do, is to confirm that appointment tonight.
We'll make a motion to confirm.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The opportunity to come before you and to make this presentation. The Othello Food Bank is at a crossroads right now. We are looking to shore up the future of the food bank, and one of the ways that we are hoping to do that is by asking the City Council to approve a grant of $20,000 from ARPA funds in order to shore up our finances and ensure that we have the time to implement additional changes that will be necessary for the health and expansion of the food bank. The Othello Food Bank has been serving three Adams County communities for approximately 30 years now, the city of Othello and surrounding areas, and we've also are making deliveries to Hatton and Lynn, as we discovered that there were needs in those communities that were not being met any other way. 1 in 7 children in Washington State lives in a home that struggles to put enough food on the table. 1 in 8 Washington families rely on supplemental nutrition assistance, what we often refer to as food stamps, because back in the day it used to actually be stamps that you would exchange for food. Through the partnerships that we have as the Othello Food Bank, for every dollar that we receive, we're able to provide up to 16 pounds of food to families in need. Over the past 12 years, and I do not have 2018, 19, or 2020 figures, but beginning in 2010, we were serving about 5,500 households, 25,000 individuals, an average of 106 households per week. And And if you look at the numbers, they tracked fairly closely up until the last couple of years. And if you see in 2021 and 2022, we were looking at for our 2021 figures, we only had 11 months of figures to draw from, but we averaged 218 households, which is more than double what we had been serving. And this year, for the first 5 months of our 2022 calendar year, we have served an average of 229 households. And today's distribution, the numbers that we served, I don't remember the exact number, but it puts us on par to hit about 220 households for this week alone. So the need in this community is great. It has increased over time, and the operations of the food bank have increased over time. And much of that is due in large part to the efforts of Sharon Mobley, who has recently resigned as our food bank manager. And I'll say more about that in a minute. The finances for the food bank for the past three fiscal years, you'll see in 2019-2020, our income exceeded our expenses by approximately $14,641. 2020-2021, that was in the height of the pandemic, our income and our expenses were relatively close to each other. This past fiscal year that we just completed, we registered an almost $30,000 loss in our income compared to our expenses. Some of those differences can be explained in the fact that we've taken on a remodeling project for a storage shed on that is run by the food bank. Part of that had been, the funds had been in place and donated, designated specifically for that project. So we were expecting to run a deficit. We were not expecting to run a $30,000 deficit. We believe that much of the reason for the difference in our income versus expenses has to do with, one, COVID, although we don't believe that's our biggest, that we think that's a mitigating factor. We don't believe that that's the biggest issue that we face. We saw a huge influx of donations early on in 2020, one-time donations, and without taking a close look at those figures, the board was led to believe that everything was fine, we're still getting the donations. It wasn't until I recently looked at those figures that I realized that these were one-time grants and large donations that we were not ever going to receive again. We also made the decision to take on two employees to help Sharon because there is a lot of heavy lifting involved and we were having a hard time getting volunteers to come out and COVID restrictions and all of that. So we took on the expense of two employees who have since left the food bank, so that expense is no longer with us. The food bank operates entirely by donations and grants. We are fortunate that we have food donations that range around 35,000 pounds each month. We receive donations from Walmart, Second Harvest, Inland Northwest, Moses Lake Food Bank, Northwest Harvest, Country Morning Farms, and an organization called Four Roots. With all of those contributions that we receive, we have more than enough food to feed everybody in our community that feels the need to receive that food. What we don't have is the finances for the overhead in order to coordinate that distribution and ensure that we are able to receive the shipments. We have to drive a truck down to Pasco and up to Moses Lake to receive shipments of food. We drive to Warden to pick up milk from Country Morning Farms. Those are all expenses that we have. With Sharon's retirement, we have made the decision to increase the amount of compensation for the new food bank manager. We are looking at somewhere between $2,300 and $2,700 a month for a salary for our new food bank manager. And so with all of that, our best estimate is that we need approximately $6,000 to $7,000 per month in order to meet our expenses. And our goal is to exceed that because we see a need for expansion in the future that we will not be able to manage if we are only making ends meet. The current challenges that are facing us is to hire a new manager. The board decided that we could not bring in someone at Sherrod's caliber without providing adequate compensation. It is a part-time position, hourly part-time position, but we felt that we needed to offer a reasonable wage for the work we're asking for. We have a limited capacity and we need to complete renovations on our storage building. That is underway. In fact, we received a generous grant, or have been approved for a generous grant, and are waiting for the funds to be obtained so that we can complete that project. We do have depleted funds because we ran at a deficit. Our bank account is no longer as strong as we would like to be. Right now, thanks to generous donations that we've received, we do have enough in the bank to cover about 2 months of expenses with no other income coming in. So that puts us at a better place, but we'd like to be in a place where we can have approximately 6 months of income for finances to cover the expenses. We have lost some major donors, some due to changes in ownership, some due to debts, some due to other circumstances that we're not currently aware of. But we have lost several of our major donors who were faithfully giving it to us every month. And we have lost a lot of our reliable volunteer help. Again, that I think can be attributed in large part to COVID restrictions, but also to the fact that the people who have been invested in the food bank for the past 30 years are aging and reaching the point where they're not physically capable of handling the work that is required. Our plans moving forward, we have a hiring committee that is reviewing candidates for food bank manager. We have some promising candidates that we hope are going to pan out and we'll be able to have her or him in place within the next couple of weeks. The storage building renovation will be completed once we receive funds from a grant from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We would like to be in a position where we can bring on an additional employee that we had planned would be funded through SkillSource and Opportunities Industrialization Center of Washington. We had an employee through that program who is now left, we're hoping that they can find somebody else to bring in. We can have that help and eventually work them into a position where they would be our employee and we would be responsible. We're working to replenish our funds through grants and fundraising campaigns. We're working to develop a stable income base by working with local employers to implement payroll deductions for donations. And we're looking at improving communication with the community to increase our volunteer base, as well as the monetary support that we receive. We recognize that we cannot put all of our eggs in one basket. We believe as a board that that was one of our mistakes, that we were too highly dependent on a small handful of donors and did not put in the effort early on to build relationships and then build a firm support base. So we are asking that you would consider a grant of $20,000 to help the food bank to achieve our goals and to
the council update next week, the following council meeting, just with updates of where we're at with our ARPA spending. And at that time, ask for approval for some items that haven't gotten official approval. We will be discussing the items further with the council.
So, you guys want to discuss this funding, this 20,000 request next week?
Yes.
Tonight, I think it should be tonight. So, that is what I have here. I just wrote the big thing and put asterisk over. This is what our ARPA funds was intended for.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it was intended for. I don't think they're out of line. I mean, he's asking for help, for transportation to go get the food. Every one of us here knows what it costs transportation. You know, it's insane. He's asking for help for a director. The help they're asking for on the director is less than minimum wage a year. It comes out to 27 grand a year. Minimum wage job in the state is 31,000. I understand it's part-time, but still, it's going to be a little difficult for a part-time employee to work 1 or 2 days a week when somebody, they're not going to give up a full-time job to go work a part-time job.
You can do a multi-year grant.
I believe he needs it better. But I'm all for, as far as I'm concerned, I would vote to make that grant available tonight.
I was going to bring up a multi-year grant.
Thank you.
Again, I thank you so much for your time.
So, have you got the program together for the roundtable deduction?
I have one employer who has made an initial, but we haven't worked out the details yet.
That would be interesting, during that, error in the office.
Okay. Absolutely. I will get in touch with you, and we'll talk over.
Thank you.
We have a donation system through our monthly utility bills, too. People can offer up an extra dollar, $5. It's pretty common to see on those. So just to clarify, this $30,000 will be $30,022, and then $30,000, and additional $30,000 next year, so $60,000. Yeah, we're good.
Now we'll move and for the other resolution authorizing staff and then certain facility disagreements without the city council approval.
Good evening, council. So as you guys have noticed, every year staff will come with to request approval to have specific special events. What you guys see annually, and they're the 4th of July, Color Run, the Miracle on Main Street, the Car Show, and the Softball Championship. And for the sake of saving time and being more efficient, we're requesting that council allow staff to approve these events without council approval. It would be specifically these events, if there was a new event, it would come to council. The scope and the detail of the event rarely change other than the 18 times. And aside from that, we are also requesting that we can waive all fees for the nonprofits. The only that only one that's not a nonprofit is the Buffalo State Championship. I talked to Charles this year. I don't know what we're trying to do. And he knows that if it's not a nonprofit, we can still charge the regular fees until he can show us that he's a nonprofit and make that change. So we have a resolution that was put together by our city attorney. We're requesting approval for that. Do you have any questions?
Okay. Not question, comment. I'd like to see this. I'm fine with the thought and the intent here, but I still believe it should come before council and became a full council and consent agenda and the council group. They can get, you know, with the same language. One time, the individual council member decided that there needed to be a discussion that still retained the authority to pull it off the consent agenda to discuss the item instead of just a blanket way to go. That's my thought on it. Actually, the consent agenda with the waiver of the fees as we step right now in agreement, we could change, and I'd like to have that option to see it on the consent agenda.
Okay, so that is, I did think of that idea, that was not putting this together. It just still kind of keeps the purpose, because something that we run into a lot is timeline. You know, you get a special event application in, you have to run it through all the departments, and there's just so many steps. And if we, you know, there's a certain department head that's not available when it got, when it got turned in, we're on a time crunch with, oh my gosh, it's a nice council meeting, when it's an event, they didn't turn it in on time, they want to start advertising for their event, and we haven't even approved it. That's something to consider.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Prior proper planning would have to fall on the organization. I know it. Purpose would be for the council to retain its authority for approval of the city to enter into those agreements. Whether it's through the consent agenda or to individually discuss that on the agenda. I do appreciate the fact that they have those timelines that they run into, and maybe that at some other time there would be a special consideration that we have to make around that thought.
So I agree with council that it should be on the consent. one other question I had was down in section two. It says the council authorized is that the waiver union all special permit fees for the abutment that otherwise would be required to pay. We can't waive fees for the Latino State Championship. They're a for profit. They lock that park off and don't let anybody in unless they pay a fee. They need to be paying fees.
Well, that has to be crossed off the name in the resolution for
they have to show
they're not.
They have to show that they're nonprofit. They would have to show they were nonprofit, but unless they become a nonprofit, then it would be they would fall into the nonprofit.
I have to speak to them and try to play it out with the nonprofit. There's no way. Yeah, if they become nonprofit, I'm good with that. But as of right now, it needs to be in the
present.
So we just need to go over to section two. And then I can come back to council with how Kelly would do it again. And you can either consent or is that what council is recommending?
I like that
consent. Okay.
Yeah, it's that because it opens it up for discussion just in case we see something we don't like, whatever, you know, something might change in the past. Because you know, we'll amend this to say that instead of staff looking at it, it'll be for the problem.
Thank you.
You look at item 4E, municipal work estimate and request. Last week we discussed the city moving forward with putting together its own municipal court, and we promised the city council that we would have some preliminary budget numbers and some a little bit better characterization of what we're looking at with regard to having our own district court. So that information has been put together, and Chief, do you want to talk to the city council about the next steps?
Yes, Mayor and Council. Thank you. So we put together the estimate. Spencer and I sat down. We looked at some numbers. We looked at the Office of the Administrator of the Courts to look at caseloads for our court, what would be our court, currently marked as a public district court, with M for municipal. We looked for cities that were similar. So the one that really stood out to me was CELA. The caseloads are pretty similar. And we also looked at Colfax. Then we looked at pre-COVID and then during COVID just to see if there was a lot of difference. What I found is there wasn't a lot of difference in the caseloads. So we checked 2017 and then 2020-21. Now, and so what sticks out in this is we've got about five main categories of cost that we can look at. The first is a court administrator, court clerk. So we need somebody that's handling the day-to-day business of the court, collecting the fines, setting dockets, that kind of stuff. The next is we would want to negotiate for a part-time prosecutor. And then we would want to negotiate with defense attorneys. Now, with defense attorneys, it's generally, what I've seen in other cities, a per-case cost. So it's a flat fee. And then we would look at the part-time judge. And for a part-time judge, you know, I'm not sure what would be available. But you know, what I've seen in other courts is they're hiring defense attorneys to do that work because the defense attorneys are locked in with maximum caseloads from our state. So they're looking for other money if they're doing public defender type work. So we Sunnyside, for example, this, believe it or not, this year, hired a new judge who was also the defense attorney within the Yakima Valley. So, and then the final thing was we put in another looking at Colfax's budget, CELO's budget. I think we looked at Sunnyside's budget a little bit too. And what we came up with was about $20,000 in services. So, with that, and this is an estimate, I'm going to figure real quick, this is an estimate. Our estimate was about $293,000. Now, I would say that, you know, that needs to be a flexible number because we need to do some negotiating. These aren't fixed numbers because that makes negotiating impossible. Now, looking at what that impact is to the city, currently we're paying about $176,000 a year to the county for the contract that would end at the end of this year. We had offered them a $30,000 increase, but we didn't, that was a year ago. So realistically, and I just threw out a number of $60,000 is what we may have offered them if we had succeeded in negotiations. So that brings us up to about $236,000. So it's not an extreme impact to the city. Obviously, there is an impact. But the other piece of that is we really don't have a good grasp of what the finding fees are. So we know that when we write a ticket, there's an amount on a ticket. When someone pays that, a major portion of that goes to the state. And so some of that money is given back to the city from the state. Or a portion is held back. The state gets their share. The state gets the majority share. The next thing we know is if someone does have a trial, there's court fees that the judge is able to levy. We don't know what those are. So a lot of that comes down to, there's a whole lot of questions we have. And that we move to the next of my recommendation, and that is a recommendation to the council to allow the mayor to advertise for the position of court administrator slash clerk. We get this position filled with the expectation that that person helps us grow this machine. Because we have a lot of questions that we don't have the expertise to get.
I have a question for you. So you said that the majority of clients were back in state, but isn't that paid for the defense attorney that they are paid? Because the state pays a pretty good chunk of money to add the county for the defense attorney, right?
The state does pay a fee to the county for the defense attorneys. I'm not going to say it's a large amount. I believe the contract that the county saw had last time I saw was about $500,000 per defense, which is a significant amount of law. But that's not all. That is all courts. But I don't think they're getting anywhere near that to reimburse that. So we would be able to find out the court administrator. The issue is we don't know what our indigent caseload is. And the judge that we hire decides whether or not the person's standing before them is indigent with a few questions. Once we hire a court administrator, I think we'll be able to ask that question, how many indigent cases do we have? So we can know what percentage of cases will be represented by three defense attorneys. But we'd also be able to ask how much of the money, or what does the money streams look like? Spencer and I were looking at some of that trying to make sense of it. I think we need more expertise than what I'm going to be able to.
The $83,000.
I noted that as salary and benefits, but I would strongly ask council to give the mayor discretion to negotiate. This is a ballpark. I suspect it's going to be one.
That, no. It's got to be an obvious and say, well, here it is,
the cost of it. I'm not asking for a blank check.
That's what we're doing if we just say $80,000
plus. Reasonable amount. So
what's a reasonable amount?
I would say give the mayor 30% up and 30% up, 30% down and negotiate.
So 30% off of what? That's still, that's why I run $100,000.
Okay. benefits are generally about 30%. We know that this is a full-time position, so we're going to be paying the 30% for benefits, roughly.
What's the Court of Administrative Grounds carrying on
about? I believe it's about this much with benefits.
83?
Well, without benefits.
Without benefits?
Okay, I believe it's about this much because that's, we also did a salary study. But I'd like.
I don't have, you know, your full one of this down. They are. There's no TA on it.
If I put a top dollar out there, the event that becomes a top dollar for negotiating. And that's my concern here.
And you're not allowed to be depending on qualifications anymore, right? You have to post the salary. Yeah, in Washington, if you post a job, you have to hit post copy on that job. What you're going to do to that.
But you can't post salary right now.
No, it has to be a salary.
You can that post ranges.
We can post ranges.
We can post ranges.
Yeah.
50 to 80,000.
Yeah.
You just have to make, you have to post the salary amount, but it can be a range.
Yeah.
Not anything.
That's more than that.
We won't need that.
Yeah.
No.
No.
This is almost another department.
This is another
department. Yeah. So is there going to be a department head?
That would be her.
The judge?
Yeah.
So we'll have the men are on the title two. That'll be a new department head.
Yeah, there are a lot of OMC changes that'll need to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's
that's a significant.
We need a court administrator as the first step. Then I think then the court administrator can help the council, you know, can come to the council meeting and help the council understand then what we need to follow through on our next steps. In the meantime, keep an eye on working on some of these other five other items, prosecutor defense, independent defense judgment, and ancillary services. So well, this is just the first step, but this is the most important step right now. That is the administrator to help us set this forward. This was the most irritating fire I've seen in a very long time.
Is that the car that was parked there for a long time?
No, it's so they can sweep the street.
Yeah, so.
And on top of that, they went down at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, not a lot of people in the community are up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
they have to be gone.
Well,
gone.
It's a day
during the week.
there were 2 weeks listed.
All right, they did this to me too, and I called down there and I told them that was absolutely unreasonable. They gave me the specific day they were coming on our street.
Yeah, it's just that there's 2 weeks listed here.
Yeah,
so all we need to do is work something out that's a little bit.
No, they just need to maybe
more than that.
Okay.
We just need to, it was a good first attempt, but it was kind of offensive. So in some cities, they do like in snow plowing and stuff like that, they do like on even your address is a odd number, you are cleared off on this day. If you're an even address, then you're cleared off on this day. You know, don't work that way.
There's no plan yet. I'm not sure.
I was kind of looking forward to getting to save on gas.
I was sitting right there, I was like, go on,
all business. I mean, I think we should address some of the family vehicles. I think a flyer from the city, please report, vehicles that have to move. Please, ask people to voluntarily, police the streets.
Well, and I just think that if you put a flyer out on people's houses, they need to go on a specific date, not an entire week or 2 weeks. But you have to, and that's why when I called up, it was a little beyond unreasonable to expect me to have the streets cleared off for an entire week. Because we have multiple cars that will not fit in our driveway. And I have it at work, and they don't always take both cars, so moving everything off the street for a whole week just wasn't enough to do it. So I called them up and they gave me a specific date. And I think that if they're going to put out the flyer, then we could be putting up a certain day out for those previous weeks.
I mean, you go north and south, I think what's important with the street is assuming the areas of the health and care for the stormwater. That's where they're having problems when they have a flight.
Well, and I get where they want people to move their vehicles because you don't want to have a vehicle that's in there for forever. The car always parking the same place. You want to be able to get underneath that and get the debris that's on the street. I know this before, so it is nice when we get that clean completely. But those flyers are not reasonable.
Communicate with message, and we'll come up with a solution. Is there any other news? Mayor, can you respond to the following 20 cars? If council members approve the budget, you can approve a small budget for us for towing and cars off all this. We've been using the heck out of it. So we have to make one of the cars that were abandoned, either from Royal City or from the Oscars. We need to think about these have to put together a report to show how well we've done that so far.
All right, I got three planning meetings I want to call. The first one is the Water Sewer Street Committee. That'll be admitted on Wednesday. I'm going to have that meeting here. Thursday.
2 weeks.
I'm going to do the
2 weeks.
Next month. Council.